in order to take Elvis off a pedestal, you need to take other people out of the gutter and understand that they're all on a level. Like Tom Hanks said, we're all the same. Like, girl, we're all on the same level here. No one's like, and that's what I really liked. I wrote this down. It's going to be a life story, not a love story.
I swear I do that at the beginning of every episode. I go, yeah, without fail. I'm scared.
Literally. And I think I say I'm excited at the start of every single one.
People click off immediately after that. They're like, this is so boring every day.
You're right. I think let's dive right in. So the trailer for the Elvis biopic has been dropped.
Yes, ma'am.
And just off the top of your head, like, First impressions.
Okay. I really liked it, honestly. I think it looks very promising. I think Baz Luhrmann, I think that's how you pronounce his name, has packed a lot of Elvis info, like crucial info, into hopefully what is like an average length feature film. So
yeah,
I'm pumped. There is a couple concerns, which we obviously are going to talk about.
We'll get to those, yeah.
Right, but overall, I think it looks really good.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I do have some thoughts as well, like, not criticisms, but just, like, I don't know, things I noticed and things I wanted to sort of discuss. But also, yeah, to me, it looks really promising. A lot of the details were so, if you're an Elvis fan, you notice them too, like, the suits, the costuming.
Yeah.
A lot of the sets and stuff like were so to a T, like, I don't know, really. And they didn't just, I'm going to dive right in right now.
Go for it.
I liked that they didn't just include like recognizable or iconic Elvis suits. They went for like the real, what he actually wore daily and also on stage.
The two things that stood out to me most, well, actually three. Number one, right off the bat, the lace shirts. I was shocked.
Yes.
Utterly shocked. I was like, I cannot believe that they, and like the different color ones too, and even the shirt that he wore when they're Vernon and him are crying because Gladys died, like the ruffled lace. Oh, that stood out to me. Also the butterfly suit.
I know, I clocked that too, because that's my favorite suit, and I was like, there's no way. And in that clip, I was like, that's Elvis, like that's a clip of Elvis, you know what I mean? Like, I was really sold by the mannerisms and the obviously character study that went into this performance. I think
definitely
will be really, really like interesting to watch on a big screen.
Definitely. Yeah, I know a lot of people, even my friends who like, they know of Elvis because of me and like obviously like basic stuff, but like they were watching it and they're like, oh my gosh, like that movie just did looks like the video you just showed me the other day. And I was like, girl, yeah, like,
yeah.
That, which obviously that can go into another topic that we're going to talk about, but I also just really wanted to quickly say another outfit choice where those I think like 69 shirts, like the floral shirts.
Yes, the rehearsal shirts.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
I noticed that too, and honestly it made me really excited because like things like that can make or break, you know what I mean? Like the accuracy, it looked really impressive. So yeah, I'm excited for that. It opens with Tom Hanks as the Colonel's sort of narration and point of view. I thought that was really interesting. The perspective they're taking is like going to be his perspective.
Definitely.
At least in the trailer anyway. I don't know, obviously, in the course of the movie, whose perspectives they'll choose to do. But it was really coming off in the trailer as it's going to be the Colonel and Elvis's relationship and like how that blossomed and like how it sort of functioned, which is really interesting.
Yeah. And I will say too, like I was afraid, I think we were all not afraid, but we were all like a little skeptical.
When we were
hearing about like what this movie was going to be about, because we thought it was going to be a Colonel movie. And like and like even when the trailer came out, I was like, oh, they're going to make Colonel's like this really like, I don't know, they're gonna play up his character. But there was one part that like stood out to me in the trailer when Kennedy was shot and like Martin Luther King Jr. Yes. was shot, and the colonel says in the trailer, like, oh, it's a tragedy, but it has nothing to do with us. And then Elvis says, it has everything to do with us.
I loved that.
It was so good. And that showed me, like, it's not going to be like, all hail the colonel, because I feel like that moment was like,
right,
Elvis kind of
defying him.
Yeah, like, put colonel in his place and been like, no, this is what I believe.
I just realized I interrupt you so much. I was like playing back one of the old ones a couple of weeks ago, and I was literally like, stop interrupting her. Like, I literally interrupt you every night, so I'm very sorry about that.
Girl, I don't even realize, but go off, because you always go off, so
please. Period. The first thing I noticed, like you said, you noticed the costumes and stuff. The first thing I noticed was the circus slash carnival metaphor they were really pushing. I loved that, because that's so important to the Elvis story and why he was, like, I don't know, advertised as such by the colonel, you know what I mean? Like, obviously the colonel had this carnival background and these ties to, like, these, like, crazy performances. And even at the end of the trailer, it said, like, the best show in the world or whatever.
Yes!
I was like, oh, my gosh. He drums up Elvis as such, like, an act or, like, a performance, which is so interesting and a really good, like, stance to take, I thought, for the trailer. I thought that was really well done. So yeah, that excited me.
I agree. That honestly gave me chills, because we, like you said, like, he did come from, he was like a carny, not a carny, but like, he like worked with chickens, I think, like, before.
Yes,
like,
he used to put chickens on hot plates so it looked like they were dancing, and that was his speciality,
his tactic kind of thing. So I think that I think in a lot of different instances, but this being definitely one of them, like, it shows like the story behind, like, so many, not myths, but just so many tired old, like, stories of, like, oh, how did Elvis and the Colonel meet, or how did Elvis, like, what was the story behind the 68 special, or like all this stuff. I think that, like, even from these little tiny bits of the trailer, the backstory that is getting put into it is, like, so important. And I'm excited
also
for that.
I really appreciate the showing not telling sort of way it's been done, by the way. Like, I don't know, again, this is just from the trailer, I haven't watched the film, it's not out yet, but like, just from the trailer, it's not all like being said, it's just being shown, which I like as well. Something I really wanted to point out that I noticed, like, the first thing I noticed while watching it, except from the circus stuff, was the use of the music. And I know you have your thoughts about that. But what I noticed was the electric guitar, the use of the electric guitar in the 1950s scene. A lot of people would probably be like, that's not right. But literally, the point of that, obviously, the electricity and the impact of Elvis's performance was, like, shown so well through that. Like, because, girl, obviously in the 50s, Elvis wasn't using electric guitars. And I made a note and I was like, it could have been so easily an anticlimactic moment in the trailer for Elvis to come on the stage and, like, blow everyone away with just, like, acoustic guitar, which is obviously what happened in real life.
Right.
But for the trailer, I think it's way more impactful to use that electric guitar, especially because you're only given a short amount of time. I don't know, again, in the movie they might use acoustic and be more accurate, I don't know, but like, it doesn't matter to me, like, because the trailer, it really caught that vibe of, like, Elvis was electric, literally on the scene, like, he was giving that vibe, and it caught that with the music they used, and the gospel music too. I really liked the incorporation of that.
I couldn't agree more. That scene, again, girl, I had goosebumps through the whole thing, but that scene, like, with, like, his hips and, like, the people screaming and stuff, that 50 scene, like, that really stood out to me. And then you also just said about the gospel music, but one thing, maybe my favorite thing about the trailer, is how they included the Black Church in Tupelo. I was so excited. I was so pumped.
It was so, like, it really paints the picture of what the film's going to be like, I think. And a lot of people were sort of anticipating this Priscilla Presley-focused love story that we've seen in so many other biopics that honestly fall flat. I, like, that's a personal opinion, whatever, you can argue your case for things that have come before it. But I think this one is really going to be the definitive Elvis biopic, because it's just coming out with so much tea. And, like, I do have a small critique. I think the trailer maybe showed too much of the movie. I really felt like, I've watched the whole thing now, I'm not going to be, like, surprised. Not that I don't already know Elvis's life story. But I think it really, like, doesn't leave anything to the imagination. And I sort of, like, thought,
Yeah, of what's going to be included. Like, I know what you mean. Because a lot of people that I've talked to about it, like, And I even said this in the beginning, like, it looks like they got a lot in there. Like, they really packed it full. And, like, so I feel like definitely they did touch on a lot. But I'm very interested to see how Priscilla kind of fits into the story, because in the trailer, I didn't see, like, any scenes of, like, Elvis meeting Priscilla or a young Priscilla. I only saw Priscilla when she was older. So I'm like, how are they gonna
bring up that topic? I watched the trailer a couple of times because there were so many clips, and it was so, like, if you've watched it, you know what I mean? They're showing so much in rapid succession.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, I didn't see any movie years. I didn't see any of the 60s other than the comeback. I didn't see, like, him, like, with Anne Margaret, for example, or it, like, shooting film. I didn't see any of the movie years.
Mm-hmm.
Practically no army years either. Like, I saw kind of him in a uniform maybe at one point. I was like, And then Priscilla, I saw with Lisa Marie, and in the comeback special, he sort of gave her a kiss or something.
Yes, yeah.
Which is accurate because she was there. Well, she claims she was there. I think she was there.
Yeah.
From what I can remember. But after watching it a couple times, she does appear really quickly. He, like, puts, she's, like, standing against a wall of what I assume is their first meeting meant to be, like, depicting.
Ooh.
And he's in his uniform, and he sort of goes to kiss her, but then it's like very quick. It's very quick and, like, rapid little clips. So,
oh my gosh, I know what part you're talking about. And I literally thought that was Anne Margaret, but it couldn't have been because she had black hair. So I definitely know what you mean.
Yeah, so I was thinking that could be her, but it could also be, like, Dixie or something, because I looked at who was cast. This interested me. I looked on IMDb because I was like, who's actually, like, listed as, like, characters in this film? Because I was, like, looking at the trailer, obviously there's so many characters, and I was like, who are these people? Like, who are they meant to be?
Right.
Has been cast, and, like, there's a Dixie cast. So that will be interesting, because I think in a few of them, they do cast, like, an early love interest, like before Priscilla, you know what I mean? Just, like, a hometown love interest, because they usually depict Gladys. So I think they want to show Elvis, like, having a girlfriend at that time as well, because he did.
Right.
But I thought that was a little interesting thing. But I thought that was a positive on my part that they didn't show too much of Priscilla, because I think if it was all about her, I just couldn't enjoy it.
Or even all about, like, the romantic part of Elvis. I feel like this movie is going to focus so much on, like, his drive for his passion, his drive for a career, and, like, what he wanted to do with his life, and then how, like, the loves of his life kind of fit in there along with that. But I really do think it's very much focused on, like, he said that one quote in it, like, the preacher said that when words are too hard to talk about or something, sing.
If things are too dangerous to say, sing. I wrote some quotes down so we could, like, really reference. And I loved that because my mom, I watched the trailer on my own first, then I watched it with my mom, and then I watched it with my dad.
Yeah.
literally. Yeah, and everyone, of course, is, like, picking out different things that they liked about it, because, like, you really, like, can't just watch it once and get everything out of it because it's such a long trailer. And this was really, like, an in-depth trailer. And I actually watched, is it Baz or Baz Luhrmann?
I think it's Baz. I'm pretty sure.
I watched the trailer where he gave a little intro beforehand as well.
Yeah.
And he sort of said, I see trailers as, like, a window to the movie, right? Like, it's not a movie in itself, but, like, it's going to show a lot. And I was like, okay, interesting that he said that, because I was really like, they're not, like, keeping any secrets at all. They're not, like,
no.
You know, normally I watch a trailer, and when the first little snippet trailer dropped, they gave nothing. They gave nothing away at all. Like, it was literally a bit of Unchained Melody, and then that's all you got.
Yeah.
And then when the real trailer dropped and I saw the timestamp, like, 3 minutes, I was like, this is a whole music video. Like, what's going on?
No, literally, it was so long.
Yeah, it really interested me. It was like, okay, so I did end up watching it a couple times to see what everyone else picked out. And my mom picked out that exact quote, like, oh my God, he's so tea. Like, I'm really, like, everyone's so hyped. Like, I showed it to my friends. I told them to watch it. Like, everyone is, like, into it at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting because Elvis does deserve a good biopic, and this is, like, the opinion I'm getting from the community as well.
I think more than anything, like, that's all, I mean, like, we can all say our opinions and everything, but at the end of the day, like, he's still being thought of 45 years after he died to make, like, huge budget, like, huge name director movies about him.
Yeah.
Like, he's still he's so relevant. He is so relevant to this day. And, like, and he's being, this movie is being made by somebody who is a fan, somebody who has worked with Graceland to probably, you know,
produce it.
Yeah. Like get ideas for like costumes and like scenery and aesthetics and everything like that. And I think that that gives me a lot of hope because, I do worry a lot about my biggest concern is like the medication situation and how they're going to depict that. And also the Priscilla thing. But I think that because Baz is a fan, and because he's worked with Graceland, and because EPE is so on board with this, as you can see, like them promoting it and everything, I think that they are hopefully educated enough to like accurately tell this story, and that's what Elvis deserves the most.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Another thing I just wanted to quickly say that I noticed is like, they are really showing it from start to finish, in the most possible way they can, by the looks of the trailer anyway. Again, this is all based on the trailer.
Right.
But I really found it cool how obviously the actor has been really well researching Elvis, you can tell. Really, really liked his mannerisms for the early years of Elvis, like the 50s, and when it went black and white, the footage in the trailer, and his eyes were like that half lidded, that like trademark Elvis like stare he had, the hair, everything was done really well, I think, and like really represented Elvis, not just in one gig as well, which I found interesting. Like they really showed such an array of gigs, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, they didn't stop after the 68. They didn't. Like, we get Butterfly Sue Elvis. Like, that is just literally crazy to me.
So and when impressive.
Unchained Melody started playing Girl, when Unchained Melody,
oh my God,
I lost it. And, like, that's just, like, if they go all the way to 77, if they show his death, like, oh my gosh.
Right. It will be, like, trailblazing for them to see how they even, like, portray it. Like, because we're so used to that, like, newscaster reading that, like that's sort of been done, and if they do that, I understand, because it's sort of not a cliche, but it's just sort of something everyone sort of leans into, is like that newscaster or like that telephone call of like Elvis Presley, like, you know what I mean?
It is definitely a sensitive topic to act out, you know?
Exactly. And I think they'll handle it well, and it'll be interesting to see actually how they end up depicting that side of things. One of the things I really noticed as well when I first watched it was the lightning bolt was like heavily featured in early Elvis, like young Elvis.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Him reading the Captain Marvel comic at the very beginning. And the casting for the young Elvis, I think they got that good. Like I saw, and oh, you wanted to bring this up, and I know you did, but like a lot of people are sort of bitching about, oh, he doesn't look like Elvis, Austin Butler, I think his name is.
Yes.
But girl, no one does. Like,
I could talk about this for a hot second, but honestly.
Please do. Like, please pop off, because I have a lot to say too.
I definitely have been talking to multiple people, and I feel like this is a number one critique for a lot, which is surprising. It's surprising me. But like,
it surprised me.
There a lot of people are saying how he doesn't look like Elvis, how they're afraid that people are going to start comparing Austin Butler and Elvis, like all this other, like he's not Elvis, no one will ever be Elvis. But like, we've been new. And like, also these are the people that are standing like tribute artists, which I also stan them. I love them, but I fully know that like when I go to see them, I'm not seeing Elvis, just because girl, Elvis is not here. Like he cannot play himself in a movie.
I think it's so hard to give an impression of someone who is so well-liked and so well known for looking a certain way. Like Elvis is a very distinctive looking person, but also with that, you're never going to get anybody who everyone agrees, yeah, that looks like Elvis, because no one of all does look like Elvis. I think for certain films, I always draw to the Johnny Cash film Walk the Line.
Yes, of course.
I think, you know, am I gonna mistake him for Johnny Cash? Girl no.
It's about the rule of thumb for biopics.
Exactly. It's not about like he has to be the spitting image of Elvis, because no one ever will be, but it's about capturing those mannerisms, the voice, the look, but like all of that, you can suspend your belief to watch someone depict Elvis. You don't have to sit there and be like, well, I know he's not Elvis, so I'm not going to enjoy this. Like, Do you think Elvis is going to resurrect himself and play himself?
Literally, that's what I've been saying. But also, I feel like for me, it's more important. Like, I don't care if you look like him or not. I care about how you play him. Right. If you're going to come out here and play him cheesy and, like, stereotypical and, like, because he does have a lot of iconic movements and he's known for a lot of, like, the hips and the karate on stage in the 70s and things like that. For me, it's more important how you respectfully handle that and, like, not make it, like, such a caricature or, like, a comic almost. I think that watching the trailer, it's really apparent, like you said before, that he really did do his studying on, like, how Elvis moved and how even, like, when he talked, my mom was like, oh, that's not Elvis's voice. And I'm like, yeah, T, it's not. But, like, he's not being like, oh, hi, honey. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Like, so many other people do. Like, it. He wasn't trying too hard, but he also was, like, you could tell he was trying.
I know. I really enjoyed the bit. Like, the bit that kind of sold me was the bit where they were on the Ferris wheel and he sort of said, I'm ready to fly. He sort of repeated it. And that was so Elvis to me, because obviously that's not, like, I'm not going to be watching this like Elvis never had that conversation, because it's not about whether he really sat on a Ferris wheel with Colonel Parker and had this conversation. It's about what it represents and what it stands for. And, like, that to me was how Elvis would speak and how Elvis would talk. You know what I mean? I, like, was convinced. And whether that's the script writing, the direction, or just Austin Butler himself, I don't obviously know. I haven't seen the behind the scenes footage. I assume it's an accumulation of all of that.
Right.
But that to me sold me. Like, girl, I know sitting in front of me is not Elvis acting out his life story, but let's be honest, like, it was a pretty good vibe. And the bit that sort of made me not cringe, but sort of go, oh, okay, was the bit where he said, it has everything to do with us.
And that's the part where my mom did it.
I was like, oh, girl, like, what?
But it has everything to do with us.
Like, he was in the room.
No, literally, hi, Austin.
You have to respect, like, girl, camera acting. No, this is the thing. A lot of people were saying a tribute artist should have played Elvis or got the role to play Elvis. I think that's completely ridiculous, and I'm just gonna say that outright. I'm not gonna act like that's a valid point, because I don't think it is. Camera acting versus stage acting, Hollywood acting versus, like, imitation, is so different and incomparable to me. Also, this actor has, like, had to do 3 different eras of Elvis. You've got the 50s, 60s, and 70s to depict, right? That is so, it's a huge challenge, especially for someone, like, if you're depicting Elvis. I think a tribute artist would have their own impersonation and style for Elvis and would probably focus on a specific era or have a speciality in a specific era of Elvis. And I think, girl, the idea of a tribute artist playing Elvis is just not, doesn't sit right with me for so many reasons. It would honestly disrupt the movie for me. It would, like, give an impression, the wrong impression of Elvis, in my opinion.
I agree. And like I said before, I think acting, girl, like, you hire, if you think about it, this is a movie. And on a, this isn't just like a little indie film. This is Warner Brothers. This is a huge company. This is Baz Luhrmann. And so when he's casting his film, girl, he's going to pick a good actor. And I think having them be a good actor is the most important thing, because when you can act, you can truthfully, even though that's kind of ironic, but, like, you can truthfully portray somebody, and, like, you know how to go in depth into that character and figure out how to kind of become them in a sense where it's not imitating them. I feel like if it was a tribute artist, even though a tribute artist is different than an impersonator, I'm not saying impersonating them, but, like, tribute artists are kind of geared in a way where it's like, okay, well, Elvis moved that way on stage, so I'm gonna copy that and I'm gonna move that way on stage. But
yeah, it's about mimicking.
Right. Well, as an actor, though, you also have to understand them on, like, an emotional level in order to get their story across in the correct light. And so that's why it's just so important that it has to be an experienced, seated actor.
I think so too. Again, drawing on other examples, because I think there has been so many biopics, especially in recent years, ever since Bohemian Rhapsody sort of came out, it's been sort of a fashionable thing. And I think then Rocket Man followed, obviously, about Elton John. And the guy who played Elton John in that, I cannot think of his name. I'm so sorry. I love him.
No, no, but I was going to say the same thing. He was phenomenal.
He was great. But Elton John obviously is still alive and was advising him on, I don't know if it was on the set or in his own time or whatever, and sort of said, don't act like me. Don't play me, because you already sound and look like me enough. Because no one's going to be convinced if you're out here doing like an impersonation of me that everyone can do. It's sort of that vibe. Like, your uncle at every wedding is whipping out his Elvis impersonation. Like, girl, everyone can
literally
do an Elvis impersonation or an Elton John impersonation, like he was saying. And he's sort of saying, don't act like me. Like, act like yourself. Put yourself in my shoes and act how you would act in the situation, because I'm just a normal person. And that's the vibe, because it's like, you're not like trying to... I'm not going to sit there in the cinema and be like, actually, Elvis wouldn't say the word, I don't even know, girl. Like, girl, I'm not here to nitpick. I'm not here to rip apart someone's, like, performance. But I am here to be like, girl, does he give the impression of Elvis? Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is that we, this is another point I wanted to bring up. We are Elvis fans, girl. We know pretty much all there is to know. I mean, not everything, but, like, we know a fair amount going into this movie. And we certainly know what Elvis looks like, what he would say, blah, blah, blah. But what we're hoping for is for this movie to reach new groups of people and bring in new generations of fans who don't know the ins and outs of Elvis, who don't know this is how he looked on stage in December 1974. Like, they don't know all this stuff. And so, like, even showing this trailer to my friends, they're like, oh my gosh, he looks just like him and all this other stuff. And I'm not offended by that, because yes, I know that it doesn't, and it doesn't sound like him in that part, and he wouldn't wear his hair like that, whatever. But like you said, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is, like, hopefully what people are going to learn from this movie, and that's what they should be taking away.
Exactly. I think you can nitpick it all you want. There's always going to be something. I mean, Tom Hanks, I was like, does the Colonel talk like that? Like, that was not
wild. I was shocked. Honestly, he looked just like him, though. Can we talk about
really
that?
He looked like the special effects, the makeup or whatever they put on. My mom went, has he gained weight for this? Or, like, is that a fat suit? What's going on? Like, it literally looks so convincing. I was like, wow, this is, like, getting me by the gullet, like, killing it. And a lot of people have qualms with, like, none of the cast, like Gladys Vernon or Priscilla look. Like, girl, it's not about, that's the most shallow thing you could think to talk about, is like the looks of the cast. It's like, but what if they are literally selling it? Like, it's not to me about what they look like.
That's the thing. And I also, I wanted to backtrack quick to what you were just saying about, like, well, I was just going to say, I bring this up in every podcast episode, I swear, but I am a theater major. Girl, we know this.
Love that.
But I got some advice once from these people from London who came to teach a masterclass to us. And they were basically saying, like, when you're playing a character, you're not worrying about, like, playing the character like somebody else would have played the character. So I'm acting in A Midsummer Night's Dream right now, and I'm playing Hermia. So to get inspiration for Hermia, I might watch another production of Midsummer Night's Dream and take, you know, take notes or take inspirations or take ideas of how they performed that. But ultimately, it's Mary's version of Hermia in A Midsummer Night's Dream, and it's my character of Hermia. It's the same person, but, like, it's, I'm playing the same person, but it's my version. And so I'm like, it's this is Asa Butler's version of Elvis. And, like, he's not going to be Elvis Presley, and he's not going to be Kurt Russell playing Elvis. He's not going to be all these other people playing Elvis. He's going to be Asa Butler playing Elvis. And I think that that's the beauty of it, because he's going to bring things to the table that we've never seen before. Yeah, that's all I have to say. I think that kind of applies.
Yeah, that's what it is exciting, because I honestly haven't seen him in anything myself. I haven't seen any of his previous stuff.
Yeah, me neither.
Just because I haven't. But I'm really, really excited on his behalf, honestly, to see, like, what he can do with the character. I agree. It's like doing a cover version of a song. It's like, no one wants to hear you do Elvis's version of this song. Like, if you're doing a cover of something or like a remake of something, do it different than it's been done before. Otherwise, what's the point in doing it?
Exactly. And, like, still find the truth. Like, obviously, as an actor, like, you find the truth of that character and you try to bring that out. But your version isn't going to be identical to, you know, Elvis, and it's not going to be identical to anybody else who's played it. Because I know I've been having conversations with some people who are like, well, like, it's not going to be like when this person played Elvis in this documentary or in this biopic. And I'm like, well, it shouldn't
obviously
be.
Obviously not. Yeah.
It's a new version of it.
Literally go watch that documentary if you want to see that person play Elvis. Like, girl, literally, they've been there, they've done that. As if the director or the casting people are going to cast someone who's already played him. Like, girl, then there's no point in making a life story, a brand new, supposed to be like, you know, unveiling the curtain. If you're casting someone who's already acted in an Elvis thing that's right. represented something totally different.
Also think really fast, I also just think that, like, since Austin Butler, I don't, like you said, I've never seen anything that he's been in before, but I know that he's young, and I know he's been in stuff that young people, girl, as if I'm not young, but like,
they're gonna bring him,
people are gonna go to see this movie because it has Tom Hanks or because it has Austin Butler, and the girl who played Priscilla is a big name as well, and that's good as well.
Literally, I remember, I mean, this film has been in anticipation and it was cast a long time ago. And I remember talking about it initially with my friend's sister, which is the randomest thing. But she even said, like, I have a crush on this guy. Like, I'll go see it. Because literally, like, but that's what you want. People are so, like, quick to be like, oh, people only, like, girl, if they're going to go see it, if it's going to get Elvis tea spread, if it's going to get people hyped, why are you dissing it? Like, so many people were like, I did a little thing on my story where you put a little question and people give you like info, so I was like asking people, what do we think of the movie, and so many people were like, Tom Hanks is killing it, like Tom Hanks is the reason I'm gonna be part of it, and that's probably true for Tom Hanks himself. He's like, girl, I want to be in this because I want to be in this. Like, I'm literally sold on Tom Hanks being in it, and so will so many people.
Agreed. And yeah, that's another thing about it being such like a, it's going through such a big brand. I don't know what Warner Brothers is, girl. A brand? I don't know. But like
company? I don't know.
Company, yeah. But like they have like big name actors playing these roles, and I think that is gonna bring like a lot of people to see it because people are Tom Hanks stans. Like, girl, the minute I'm like, oh, they're making a new Elvis movie, it has Tom Hanks in it, everyone's like, oh, like that sounds really interesting.
Exactly. And the fact he's so heavily put himself behind it too, which is exciting, because I mean it's a lot to live up to, because like, girl, you never know like what direction it's going to take. But I think Tom Hanks has really been pushing it, like in talk shows and things. He's really got an interesting take and like doesn't reveal too much as well, which is good about his performance. But I think when I first heard his voice, I was like, did the Colonel talk like that? Like, I don't know if I've ever heard him fully speak a sentence, like fully articulated in the way that how Tom Hanks is doing. Cause I know he's from the Netherlands, right? Like he's actually from the Netherlands, Tom Parker.
Yes.
So he was sort of doing that type of accent, like Dutch vibes. I don't really know.
Dutch, yeah.
And I was like, I guess that's sort of tea then. Like honestly, and then after that, it made me want to watch interviews of just the Colonel talking, and he did have that voice, and I was like, I'm learning today. He said, shut up and listen. Like,
literally, yeah. And that just shows how much, you know, Tom Hanks put into that, obviously, because he's such a great actor, but how much he put into that character.
Yeah, and it's so sad to say that that's surprising, because it just shows the low standard that has been that Elvis films over time, because...
Yes.
I mean, I've seen, like, people depict Elvis as so, like you said, cheesy and, like, over the top and just like, girl, my dad could have done better than that. Like, you said, like, girl.
Yeah.
Like, a local person could have done better. But what really excited me and, like, sort of hooked me in as well in the trailer was the black perspective at the time as well. He sort of could be seen having this conversation. And I think they've cast a Little Richard, if I'm not wrong. I looked on the IMDb and I think it was a Little Richard was cast. I don't know if this was the person he's meant to be speaking to.
Yeah. Who? Why did I think that was Sam Cooke? I don't know if it was.
It might have been. It might have been. I tried to look at the cast to see, like, obviously who had been named as, like, in the movie.
Right.
I think Sam Cooke was as well. I really can't remember. But Little Richard definitely has. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. But anyway, in the trailer, Elvis is having a conversation with this guy who says, like, girl, you're a famous white boy. And I really, really liked that, because honestly, so many Elvis biopics really want to push that Elvis was superior and sort of like, I don't know, sort of erase that side of him and also that perspective. Like, right. I think that's such a huge part of the conversation and why Elvis has sort of been seen in controversial lights and things like that. So yes. if they can bring that into the film, I think that's really, really exciting and important as well. And if they didn't, I think it would be so tone deaf.
Definitely. And I think that goes back to what I was saying in the beginning, or what we were saying in the beginning too, about them showing him sneaking into the black, like, revival, yes. Black church thing. And I love the scenography. That's not a word. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Cinematography?
There it is. Cinematography, girl. When they, like, show him, like, obviously feeling the music as a little boy in this church, and then it immediately cuts. So you're like, that was his inspiration. He's channeling that little inner boy that he had when he was listening to those black revival church services and getting pumped to that music in church. Like, and then how they also tie in that, you know, I'm glad that they're casting Little Richard and, like, all these well-known black artists, because, girl, those are his inspirations. That's what he grew up with. And so that's never been talked about. And that is his roots. Those are his true roots.
And I think to shield that almost puts Elvis in a more controversial light, because it makes Elvis out to be this person who shielded it himself. You know what I mean? Like, definitely. In the movie making, by ignoring and not casting black perspective, like, girl, you are making Elvis out to be against it too, you know what I mean, at the same time.
Exactly.
To ignore in the film black perspective would be to say that Elvis ignored black perspective himself, and I just think that's just cutting out such a big part of his life and a big part of his career and life story, especially childhood. I just think it's so embarrassing.
No, literally. And I think there are I think a top few rumors, or like top few controversial myths that surround Elvis, and Elvis stealing black music is one of them. And I think by showing these things in this movie, that'll nip that in the bud, and I am so ready for that, because that is one of the, if they handle it right, which honestly I'm hopeful that they will after seeing those clips in the trailer, I think that that's one of the reasons why so many people don't like Elvis. At least here. I know it's kind of different in the UK, but that'll be just so refreshing to see that, like, actually portrayed accurately.
Yeah, it's such a big thing with Elvis that most people either love Elvis or don't know about Elvis for that reason. They're, like, unsure about Elvis. They're like, well, didn't he blah, blah, blah. It's like, this is going to really sort of, like you said, showcase that, like, girl, no. Because they've never given that a chance. They've really never... I'm saying they, like, it's one person, but, like, I've never seen anybody try to really give a voice to that side of things.
Yeah, like I said, like, this, that's why I'm just so excited for it, because I feel like so many things have just not been talked about, like,
yeah,
like the Tupelo scene and the black artist scene, and the when they are talking about, like, the 68 special and how Elvis was like, I need to get back to who I am, who I really am. And then, like, the part of, like, him watching, like, the assassinations on TV and being like, this has everything to do with us. And, like, the If I Can Dream moment, like, that stuff is just, it's so important, and it always gets glossed over.
Yeah. And it's really exciting to see, actually. And the fact that, like, I don't know, I'm just really excited that all the eras are being covered in one great big film, because it's going to make it the definitive Elvis biopic. Like, this is going to be the thing people go to for the longest of period, you know what I mean? Like, I'm very excited. One of the things I want to point out just as well, I'm just listing the things I noticed now in the trailer, because I just thought it was so exciting to see.
Yeah.
The fact that they showed the police scandal, like, obviously early on when he wasn't allowed to be shown on TV, and he said, oh my God, they want to arrest me for the way that I'm moving. And they showed, again, that circus metaphor with the fandom and, like, the mania that the girls were screaming and stuff, and him just sort of being taken aback by, like, girl, what am I doing? Like, am I doing bad? Like, is this evil? And then sort of Gladys... Right. being there and being like, no, it's God-given, it can't be
right,
wrong.
It can't
and Vernon,
be wrong.
Just, like, they're really including a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, and I think even going off of that as well, when they're showing, they show the scene where Gladys dies, and I know that that's been something that has been done before, but I think like if they do make that connection with Elvis and his mom, very apparent from the beginning, with him growing up in Tupelo and then his mom being there with him through all the controversy and things like that, I think like that's another part of Elvis that kind of gets like looked at in a weird light, is like, oh, he was like really weirdly close to his mom. But I feel like this movie, when they had Elvis and Vernon grieving in that one part, that looked like it was a good sign.
Yeah, and I remember sort of not This Is Elvis, but I think the mini series that's just called Elvis as well. I'm pretty sure it's just called Elvis as well. They showed a lot of like Gladys's funeral. In that they like talk about that, and I just thought that was like a weird position to take, only because, well, we don't know what sort of happened at that funeral. Like the press sort of invaded that moment with them on the steps. We've all seen that photo of like Vernon and Elvis sort of obviously grieving, and Elvis in that white shirt that obviously she made for him and stuff like that. I think those little details in the trailer especially are being shown. Yeah, I don't know. I'm quite excited. Like obviously you've got the first hand stories of people being like, oh, Elvis threw himself on his mom's open casket and was like sobbing and stuff. So it'd be really interesting to see like that raw side of things and really empathize with Elvis as well as like, you know, I don't know, see him as a real person rather than, again, like a caricature.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, that unveiling, which I hope kind of like generally throughout this whole film, like they do kind of strip away that, because I think watching the trailer, there are so many iconic moments and like iconic images of Elvis, like on stage with the jumpsuits or in the black leather, or like on stage in the 50s and things like that. But then there are also so many like very raw and real moments, like him with Lisa Marie, and like the moment of him waving goodbye to her as he's like getting ready to leave for tour, and like the quote, like, I'm gonna be 40 soon. And they're all going to forget about me. Like that stuff, it just kind of strips away like all this stuff that everybody always thinks of when it comes to Elvis, and shows him in a very human light. And
Yeah.
that was very emotional, girl. That was emotional to
Please.
see, because I was like, they included the freaking like everyone's going to forget about me quote, and I lost it. I was like, that needed to be in there, and I didn't even know it.
That was really cool. Yeah, I liked that a lot. I liked the bit with Lisa Marie, as you said, sort of, I think you said this, that toy between his career and personal life and sort of, you know, his relationship with everyone around him and how complex it really was. I mean, I don't know if you caught, there was a woman sat next to him in the car in that scene. I think there was anyway. I thought maybe that's Linda Vibes or like someone, I don't know if they'll name her, I don't know. But I think there was a woman next to him anyway. I could be wrong. But they're sort of giving that Nixon era, especially in that one with the Sonnies and stuff. So it's like they're really going in on like the tea. Like I was really excited to see it, and like how far they go. Again, I do think they gave too much away in the trailer, just because I think, girl, now they have a lot to live up to. And also obviously trailers are edited, and I think the music in the trailer might not necessarily be the music they use in the movie, or like the quotes will be in different places in the movie than they're, obviously they're just put as a backtrack, like he just said that out of nowhere, you know what I mean? So it's like it'll be interesting to see the full thing put together in the order they've chosen it to be in, like what music they choose, because I think the use of the music in the trailer is what really really got to me first, with especially with the electric guitar. I really was shook, and then they showed him
Definitely.
playing the piano. And the colonel sort of being like taken aback by that for some reason. He was just like, because he never really saw Elvis in the way Elvis wanted to be seen as an artist, you know what I mean, in that light. Like he sort of
Definitely.
never really got it, that side of things. Like he understood, oh my God, girls go crazy for him, money signs in my eyes, like, you know, I have to capitalize on this, which you saw in the first scene when he sees him come out in his little pink suit or whatever, and that Tom Hanks as the colonel obviously looking at this woman screaming and be like, what is she doing? And then he said, Elvis was my destiny. I thought that was so cool. I was like, that's so interesting, because I've never really thought about I mean, I have thought about it, but no one's ever really delved into the Colonel's perspective and point of view of, like, people make me out to be the villain of this story. Said that was the opening line. That
yeah,
they're gonna change minds about that almost. And then the closing line, which got a lot of people obviously emotionally, was Tom Hanks saying, "We're two odd lonely children reaching for eternity." That sent me.
Okay, true. And I know that's like a common consensus kind of around the Elvis community, but I, as much as I might not agree with a lot of the things the Colonel did, I know that me and you have talked about the Colonel a lot, whether it be on Lives or whatever it is, but we have always been pushing for, like, we don't agree with everything the Colonel does or everything Priscilla does or even everything Elvis did, but at the end of the day, they are human beings. And they are not villains. Like, nobody is a villain in this story.
True.
They are human beings. And I think that so many people don't like the Colonel. And I'm not going to say I'm a Colonel fan either. But I think that if this movie can show, like, not, like, yes, it's, I hope, going to show, like, a more human side of Elvis. But at the same time, those quotes that you just pointed out, I have empathy for the Colonel as well, and I'm seeing him in a much more human light as well. Like, he wasn't just like, oh, like, how, what tactic can I use today to ruin Elvis Presley's life? Like, it's not that. It's like at the end when he was saying, like, we're just both like two guys trying to figure out what the heck we're doing with our life.
You and me are the same and stuff like that. And that sent me, because in order to take Elvis off a pedestal, you need to take other people out of the gutter. And understand that they're all on a level, like Tom Hanks said, we're all the same. Like, girl, we're all on the same level here. No one's like, and that's what I really liked. I wrote this down. It's going to be a life story, not a love story. Because in a love story, you need a love interest. You need a knight in shining armor. You need a king and queen. And you need a villain. You always need a villain. Someone to root against and someone to root for. You need a victim almost. You need blah, blah, blah. It's like, girl, this film, I don't think, will paint Elvis as any of those things. It's going to paint him as Elvis, like, right? It's not going to put him on this pedestal, because it's not putting the Colonel in this place of, like, villainy and bullshit, which is like, girl, you can say I think Tom Hanks said, there was a quote, and he said, I think he was a genius, but also a scoundrel, talking about the Colonel. And I think that's such an interesting perspective to take, because, girl, so many people see him as this polarizing character, right? Like, either you hate him, like, girl, he did Elvis dirt, he killed Elvis off, he did all this stuff, or you think, girl, you know what, he had the right idea, he was a good manager, he was obviously out for the money, but that's what he was hired to do, whatever. You know, you can either say, oh my god, genius, or oh my god, evil. But I think Tom Hanks had this cool perspective of, like, girl, he was both. Like, he was out here being a businessman, but also being cutthroat and ruthless and, like, sort of a little bit of a scoundrel. That's what he said, and I was like, that's so funny to me, but also true. Like, and that shows that his portrayal is going to be truthful rather than trying to sell some weird narrative. I don't know, I just think it's going to be really good by the trailer anyway. I'm really excited to see it.
I do just have one, I don't know, for wrapping up, but I have this one other thought that, like,
keep it going.
Okay, period. Girl, please. I remember in the beginning how it was obviously Tom Hanks as the Colonel. It was his narration. But he was saying, like, something along the lines of, like, are you born with destiny? Or, like, do you find it? Or, like, whatever. And it was that narration, but showing Elvis at the Black Church and, like, Elvis before he was Elvis, you know, the superstar. And so I was like, okay, like, period. They're talking about, like, Elvis finding his destiny, his purpose, his, like, what he's meant to do. But then it cut to, like, the Colonel finding Elvis and being like, he was my destiny. And then at the end, it was talking about, like, we're the same. We're just two people searching for our eternity, our souls, our destiny. And so, like, it was cool to see, like, how they connected that, like, Elvis finding his destiny and Colonel finding his at the same, like, in the same kind of moment in time. Because I think if you're like me, your mind was going, like, okay, this is going to be about, like, Elvis finding his purpose. But it was also about Colonel finding his purpose as well.
Yeah. And it's so interesting that they've used that really to equip the Colonel as sort of a secondary main character. You know what I mean? Obviously, and I think it's such an original take. I think something no one's ever really sought out to do, because it's so easy to paint him as this villain, because girl, it fits right in. Like, girl, we love Elvis, we hate the Colonel, like, period.
Right.
I think they're not going to stray too far from that. I don't think they're going to make the Colonel out to be like the best person in the world, because he wasn't.
Right, right, right.
But it really just showed, like, girl, if you open up your mind, what? If you, like, you know, have an open mind and, like, change your perspective a little bit, you can see how, like you said, the Colonel, through Elvis, was trying to pursue his dreams and his ambitions.
Right. And nobody should be villainized. And, like, that's the main, like, the truthful yeah. part of Elvis's story. Like, that's just, we want a truthful, accurate biopic. But in order to get that, we can't paint anybody as the villain, because nobody ruined, like, Elvis's life. Like, yeah, the 60s were trash, and there were reasons that the 60s were trash for him, but that wasn't his entire life. Like, he bounced back after that. He had a great yeah. run. And so, I don't know, I think that in order to get a truthful movie, it's gonna have to be truthful on all sides, like you were saying. Like, you need to pull people out of the gutter in order to pull Elvis off the pedestal.
Yeah, exactly. And I also think the perspective that's always lost, again, is the Black perspective at the time. I think it's yeah. always either, like, briefly done or sort of brushed over or whatever. Like, they always sort of bring up maybe Martin Luther King, or maybe the fact Elvis was born in the ghetto, but essentially, like, girl, but in this one, this conversation he was supposedly having with this guy really sent me and, like, sold me, I think, like, because he says sort of something like, oh, they want to arrest me just for being on stage, just for how I move when I sing. And this guy goes, well, they could arrest me for walking down the street, you're a famous white guy.
Right.
And that was so, like, interesting to hear, because it's like, girl, if you really put it into perspective, like, you can complain all you want, like, oh my god, Elvis was so demonized, Elvis was so, I don't know, villainized at the time, because so many people at the time, like, churches were against Elvis and saying, girl, he's a demon, he's a devil.
Right.
All because they were afraid of, ultimately, like, segregation becoming...
Exactly.
Ending, like, the end of segregation. That's what right. they were really scared of. Girl, they weren't out here thinking Elvis is a demon. Like, they were just against, like, Black people's style, music, dancing, exactly. all of that stuff, because they saw it as, obviously... Girl, they were just racist. They were out here being
racist. It
was
a threat. Right. It was a threat of bringing Black inspiration to mainstream white America. And, like, that exactly. was a threat to them.
And Elvis was a huge vehicle in obviously bringing that to white teenagers at the time. Mm-hmm. Because, God, they never heard anything like it. Because how are you meant to, when it's so filtered and so censored and so,
right,
you know, kept from you? You know right. what I mean?
Exactly.
But that idea to say, well, Elvis, you're just... sort of, you are a tool in that narrative, which is really just, oh, it really got me, because I just really agreed that, like, Elvis was just a way, a gate or a bridge, I don't know, he was just, what would you say, like, I don't know, the well, step I mean, needed to take, the necessary tool for right. all these other people to come into the mainstream and actually get their material out there and shown and into the white media, which obviously controls everything, so we get, you know, more representation. Essentially, Elvis is the tool to get more Black representation legally, literally legally, because it was illegal for you
exactly
know, Black people to sing on white radio stations, blah blah blah,
right?
We all know that, like, girl, take a history lesson, we all know that. But
right,
I think Elvis biopics really really shy away from that, because they don't want to come across like, well, this story is about Elvis, it's not about anything else. I think they're really going to be like, no, this story isn't just about Elvis. Elvis is a tool in so many other people's destinies, just like the Colonel's, just like, girl, Priscilla's ultimate, like, story as well. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not right. just one person's perspective. It's going to be everyone's.
Right.
Does that make sense? I don't even know.
No, definitely. And we did do an episode a while back, about, like, Black artists and their opinion on Elvis and everything. And it's one of my favorite topics to talk about, because it's so misunderstood. But if you listen to multiple Black artists of the time, they describe, just like you were saying, Elvis was he opened the doors for them to have their voices heard and their talents recognized in a time where they weren't even allowed on the radio, or like they weren't allowed, nobody had like their records in their homes as a white family in America. Like Elvis, that was his inspiration, that was his roots. He grew up with that music, and he was the one who exposed it to all these new people, or all these new, you know, a new generation, a new race of people, whatever you want to say. But he was really the one who opened up the doors for
artists. I think it's going to really help that conversation, because so many people I see, mostly online, never in person, sort of. It's mostly online. I get a lot. I don't get it. I see a lot of like, oh, Elvis stole black music. And like,
yeah.
Obviously nowadays we all want to be informed. We all want to be woke, whatever. I mean, you know, that sort of thing. And we want to know the facts. We want to know the truth. I mean, cancel culture is such a huge thing. And like one wrong move and you can be, girl, hashtag canceled. I don't even know.
No, literally.
But I think the film especially is going to really open that conversation as to, okay, what really happened? Because Elvis stealing black music, that's the wildest, randomest. It's like, can you really go into what that means? Like, can you really explain what that means as someone who just whips out that line at any point of someone praising Elvis? Well, he stole black music. What does that mean? Like, exactly. I actually want to know that perspective, because, girl, what? Like, how do you that means, steal? You know what I mean?
Right,
I get what people are saying, but I think in the film they're gonna show that exact perspective. They're gonna show, well, the black perspective. They're gonna show, well, Elvis, you need to use this success you're getting as a white man singing black music, quote unquote black music, as a tool for the rest of us. You know what I mean? And I think it's gonna really open that conversation as to like why that's the case, why that happened, why that was even allowed to happen, and why it was necessary to happen.
Exactly. And yeah, like you were saying about stealing music, that would have to mean that Elvis was like actively seeking out, like during his career, like, okay, so I know that these people have made these songs that aren't really getting played, so I'll sing them and make sure, like, that wasn't his like inner monologue as he rose to fame. Like, and there's literally proof of him in the 50s and also like in the 70s when he's on stage saying like, and even the 60s, the 60s special has that huge scene where he's like, girl, this is like my inspiration. These are my roots. And these are the people who sang this music long before I was even here. There are direct quotes of him saying like, this song was written by this amazing artist, or, you know, rock and roll was invented by these amazing people, and I'm just singing their music, girl. Like, and so I feel like, yeah, this movie is going to be a light to that. And that's so important, especially today.
Yeah, I think it's such a big deal to bring that into the light, because, girl, people love to whip out that one in debates, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
And it's just going to make people, I don't know, be more educated, and it's more accessible. I understand, girl, if you don't want to do your research, don't do your research. I don't give a fuck. But don't come arguing to me about this and that when I've done my research and you haven't. But I think this film will enable people to maybe understand a little better and a little bit easier. It's an easier form of research, isn't it, going to see a film?
Definitely. Instead of reading articles or books or anything, like, we always push like, oh, the most important Elvis books to read, but some people who could literally care less about Elvis because they literally think he's racist are not going to read those books. But this movie is obviously a beautiful feature film that people can go see in an hour or two or whatever and get schooled a little bit.
Yeah, and I know there's no knocking that. Like, I honestly think it's such a good medium to learn. Because, like, girl, I didn't know shit about Elton John. I liked it. I enjoyed it. And
exactly.
You know what? It's going to do Elvis a service, like it's done the other people they've done biopics on a service. I mean, I think there's a whole conversation to be had about how that's such a big trend. ATM is like, ATM at the minute.
Girl, the ATM, did you get your money? Girl, please.
Get your cash out for the movie.
Please.
No, but literally, I'm going to see it like 3 times.
I'm so excited. That's another thing I wanted to talk about quick is like, I think it's only being showed one day. Am I wrong on that?
You're not right.
I'm not right.
What do you mean it's being showed one day? That's not true.
It's only being shown on June 24th.
Well, it's that's when it comes out. That's the like day it drops.
It literally says only in theaters June 24th.
Only in theaters means it's only in theaters. It means it's not going to be on streaming services and things like that. Okay. Every movie that comes out says only in theaters on this day. Like, it doesn't mean it's only going to be in theaters on one
on
day.
That
it means,
day.
Girl, you're not going to get it on DVD.
Period. Okay,
you
so...
You are so funny.
I know, because a lot of people have been in my DMs being like, girl, like, the movie night is going to be all over the world. I'm like, true, because I guess I can have... Like, I can't see it any other night, but...
That is sending me, girl, what?
Girl, literally, my mom was like, why are they only showing you one night? I was like, girl, good question, I don't know.
Okay, I was just going to say, Baz Luhrmann, didn't he direct Romeo and Juliet starring Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, and Great Gatsby.
And The Great Gatsby starring Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I just say, I love those movies. I know people hate The Great Gatsby movie. I love it.
It's stunning. If anything, it's stunning.
I think it's beautiful. I think the Leonardo DiCaprio... I keep saying the Leonardo DiCaprio movie, girl.
You can just call him Leo, girl, please.
Leo. Romeo and Juliet is a beautiful film if you've ever seen it. The use of music, the use of lighting, the use... Mm-hmm. The cast. It's just really well done. Like, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's really good. And yeah, I'm really excited to see Elvis being portrayed in, like, by this director specifically. Because, like, girl, two of my worlds are uniting because I love those movies. And
literally.
I love Elvis. Like, it's going to be a sick moment. If you told me, like, 3 years ago, The Great Gatsby, Elvis, like, girl, I'm obsessed.
Literally. And I've seen so many people. Ooh, I've been seeing so many people talk about the aesthetics of the trailer and how, like, visually gorgeous it is. And
he loves that more. He is so good at that. And, like,
yes.
I'm so hyped to see it. I'm so hyped at the hype.
Girl, I'm hyped at the hype too. The whole community is going off and I love it.
And also people outside of the community, like people I know, are like talking about it. So it's
yeah.
Really,
no, literally, I went to school today and one of my friends was like, Mary, did you hear that they're making an Elvis movie? And I was like, did you see the trailer? Like, we were vibing over it and I love that.
I love that it's like in the conversation at the minute, because like, girl, he doesn't get a lot of exposure like this.
Definitely not. And I know it's different, like I said, over there, but here in the US, like, Elvis he's not as big as he is in the UK, especially not like in little
not
towns
as relevant.
Like mine. Right. Yeah. I mean, obviously everybody knows him and there are people, like, obviously I have so many Elvis friends who live in the US, but they're just spread out. So I feel like in my area, like, he's not the biggest.
I feel like it's because Elvis is iconic but not necessarily relevant, you know what I mean?
And this will push him back up
and this will kind of give him some tea. I think Ator said on the podcast where you interviewed him that the Philharmonic Orchestra album, it was number one over here in the UK. But it was, I know it wasn't in the US, or like, uh-huh, it didn't have as much success. I don't know.
Right.
It didn't go as high on the charts as it did over here, so that just sort of gave me a little insight. I'm like, people over here really, really like Elvis a lot. And I knew that anyway, just from living here, like, especially just where I live, they really do like Elvis.
Yeah.
And I can't pinpoint exactly why. Obviously, girl, everyone loves Elvis. It's not like, girl, they should hate him. I don't know why they like him. But like,
literally,
it's sort of interesting how, I mean, that could be a podcast in itself, how here he's really relevant. I don't know.
Yeah. And I also think, like, people here like love Tom Hanks, and like, obviously not in the same way, but like, they'll go to see this movie, like we were talking about before, for Tom Hanks, and that'll also give more exposure in that way. So
I agree, definitely Tom Hanks is a big sell point.
Yeah, a big draw,
definitely. Okay, I know you wanted to point out some concerns you had after watching the trailer and just how they're going to like deliver some of the heavier topics.
Yeah, for sure. I think I have only two concerns. I just do want to preface this saying, though, like, I'm not focusing on these right now. I don't want to focus on them because they're not even talked about in the trailer.
It's just
really
a question
anything.
In your mind.
Right, because it is such a big part of Elvis's his whole life. Like, this is his whole life, was the prescription medication situation. And my only concern is that I hope that they do him justice and accurately depict his struggle and the truthfulness behind why he started medication and why he continued with medication. I honestly don't even have the energy to go into
I mean, that you've done more. You've done it in previous episodes, so I think everyone sort of understands the standpoint and the hopes right. we have.
Right. Yeah. I think that is going to really make or break it for me, because I did see a couple scenes in the trailer. Well, it didn't necessarily address like pills or anything. Like, I saw a couple scenes of him like very sweaty, like laying down, or there was a scene where I think that was a scene. It was like late 70s maybe, and like someone was like almost holding his face and he was like very sweaty. He almost looked like he was gonna pass out. I don't know really what was going on.
Yeah, he looked like he was passing out, or just very exhaustion.
Right. And that wasn't like a concern for me, like how they handled that in the trailer, but it just like that made my mind, you know, sparked a light in my mind where it was like, how are they gonna handle that? Because, you know, it was present from the 50s till the 70s, and they are covering all of those decades. So I'm hoping. And again, that goes back to me saying, like, I know Baz Luhrmann is an Elvis fan, and I know he's working with EPE for this movie, and I know those kind of things about this. So I have high hopes that it's going to be handled in a respectful and also, most importantly, accurate and truthful manner, because it is such a big part of Elvis's life.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how they show his journey with that. Yeah. Because I think there's so many, like you said, misconceptions about when he started and how it slowly started to affect him more severely, obviously, toward the end of his life. But that scene kind of got me, like, intrigued me. I was like, wow, they're going to go gritty. And I kind of respected it. Like, I kind of was into it. And I'm really excited to see the performance. Because in that little clip, again, the trailer obviously is going to be edited differently from the film itself.
Right.
But I think just in that clip, I was like, he looks good. Like, not good. Girl, what? He looks convincing. He looks good.
No, literally. No, but convincing is a good way to put it. And that also makes me think, I'm glad you brought up Rocket Man earlier, because they obviously, Elton John, struggled with drug, maybe not the same type of substance abuse that Elvis struggled with, but he did have an addiction problem. But watching Rocket Man, I didn't come away from it being like, oh, he was a drug addict, he was a druggie, which I think a lot of people view Elvis in that light. But coming away from Rocket Man, I was like, I have so much empathy for him now, and like what he went through in his life story and his struggles and everything. He might have not been taking prescription medication for health issues, but he was taking them for mental health issues. And like, girl,
I just think, you know, it depends on how you view, I mean, this could get heavy right now, and this is towards the end anyway, but it depends on how, not you specifically, but how just any individual views, you know, recreational versus prescription drugs and the use of those drugs, obviously. And I think it's such a big thing of rock stars specifically, obviously.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Exactly, as drug users, it's such a big thing, and could so easily be depicted similarly for Elvis, because obviously it's that vibe. Like, it on the surface can give that vibe, you know what I mean? And it could so easily take a turn that you just assume that it's a similar vibe for Elvis. Like, oh, it's just like, that's his life, chasing the high, living for now. Like, I don't even know. But literally, like, to boldly delve into like the tea and the medical and the mental psychological reasoning and all of that stuff will be so interesting, because I know so many Elvis researchers who love that side of things, not love that side of things, what? Who are interested in that side of things, but so many who also just brush it off and say, Elvis was chasing high, Elvis was just a druggie, blah, blah, blah. And they sort of accept that as the truth. And I think, girl, if you just delved in a little deeper, as I hope this film will, and talk and address, like, actually addiction and its many levels according to Elvis, and like how he really did use drugs, because it's such a specific thing to an individual of how they use drugs, like you said in Rocket Man, like, it's gonna hopefully be a different perspective when Elvis is going to be using drugs in the film.
Right. Agreed. 100%.
Yeah, so that's another thing I'm excited to see. Not excited to see. Girl, anticipating? I don't know.
Yeah, eager to see how they handle that.
Yeah.
And also, I did had one other thing that I was just a little bit, not, I don't know, eager to see. Not concerned, but, like, eager to mm-hmm. see how they handle it is the Priscilla thing. Because I know they did cast a Priscilla, obviously. She's in the trailer. She's in the film. And I just am eager to see how they introduce her, how they introduce their relationship, and kind of go about that side of things. Because I know that that's a very big story or drawback when it comes to Elvis as well. And so I'm interested.
I think, yeah, like you said, it'd be interesting to see how important she is to their version of the story, because in a lot of them they sort of take Priscilla herself's like sort of perspective on things, right? Like Elvis and Me is obviously Priscilla's story, hello, but right. It's so heavily based on his life with her, the love life side of things, and right. so many other biopics, where they fail is taking Elvis and Me to be Elvis's life story rather than a love story he had with one woman in one instance, you know what I mean? And period. I think what this film, where it will succeed hopefully, is not just Priscilla's perspective being taken into account and not just a love story being taken into account, as is so evident from the trailer that they're not going to do that anyway, but right. I'll be interested to see how important they make Priscilla, because I honestly think if you follow the timeline of things, there's such a huge chunk of Elvis's life where, yeah, he had met Priscilla, but she's not necessarily a key individual in his life. She's not necessarily as important or as, you know, frequently in his life as she, you know, at the height of their relationship, she might have, like, seen him every day. Obviously, girl, they lived together and, like, had his child and been married to him and things like that. But, girl, they weren't that close for the whole right. of the time they knew each other, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And I think
where other ones fail is like they show Priscilla, oh, you met Elvis at this age, and for that whole period of time up until you divorced, you were as close as two lovers should be, you know what I mean? And it's like, girl, he met her at one instance, and there's this whole chunk where they didn't speak and like they didn't really know each other, they
right didn't,
like, see each other every day. And it's like, girl, you need to be truthful with the timeline of things. Like, he didn't see her for a long time after they met, you know what I mean?
Exactly, yes. And yeah, I think having it be the movie having it include so many different times in Elvis's life and in really covering those three decades, I think it'll be definitely interesting to see how Priscilla's story is shared, but also how, you know, you said Dixie or maybe even Linda or like other relationships, even like outside of girlfriends, like Gladys and Vernon and obviously Parker, but that I think like Steve Bender or Binder, I think Binder.
Yes. Binder.
He was in it. Yes. And like he played a pretty big part in the trailer, not big part, but like there were some scenes with him in there as well. And so I'm just interested, you know, overall to see how they touch on Elvis's different relationships and how they all affected him and the timeline of things.
Yeah, me too. I'm very, like I said, waiting and ready. And I think when it comes out, after we both see it, we can come back and sort of regroup.
And definitely. Yeah, that'll be fun. And I also do want to say, closing off, this was kind of my closing statement that I had mm-hmm. before, but like, I remember this one quote that I read this one time that was like, you could be the juiciest, ripest peach on the whole planet, and there's going to just be somebody out there that doesn't like peaches. And I think that really just applies to everything, honestly, about, you know, humans and just this movie as well. Like, this movie could be the best, and we could love it as Elvis fans, but then at the end of the day, there are going to be people out there who will still have a problem and still have something to nitpick.
Of course. And I think going into it, it's best to have no expectations and try not to sit there and nitpick. Just try to enjoy it. Don't force yourself to like it, obviously, but try to view it and be you know, have fun.
Right. Yeah, and exactly.
Go to the cinema, get some popcorn, get some soda.
Vibe, girl. Just vibe.
I only said soda so you would understand me. language
barrier.
What do
you call it? Pop? No, you don't call it pop. So, oh, yeah. Fizzy. No, fizz. No, no.
Girl, I'm about to tell you.
Literally, I'm like, you're like, I'm like, oh, wait, you want like, pop fizz? Carbonation?
Girl, what? I'd call it pop or fizzy pop.
Fizzy, that's what I was thinking of, fizzy pop. The way I just didn't shut up. I'm so sorry.
They're like, no, you call it fizz bang whizzy woo. Like, great. Ickle pickle. Girl, great.
Girl, at the end of the day, leaving off with this, honestly, Elvis is being remembered 45 years after he has left the earth. And I think that he deserves it more than literally anybody. And he deserves it. And I'm so excited for him, period.
Mm-hmm. I think it's come at a really good time because he's just recently now been dead longer than he was alive.
Yes, so this is the 45th anniversary this year, so pretty big anniversary, and he passed away when he was 42 now, so for 3 years.
So I think it's come at really just about the best time because, girl, it's just showing, like, even after two lifetimes, Elvis is perfectly fine. Like,
he's not going anywhere.
He's literally out here living. And what's really interesting is they included that quote, this could all be over in a flash, him saying that. And it's like, that's just so, the irony of that now is so funny to me.
Yeah, and the lightning bolt, how you were saying in the beginning, how it's, that ties into it as well.
I don't know why I gasped like that. Like, girl, I didn't bring that up. I'm like,
what? No, literally, I didn't even say that. Wait, please. No, but like, oh, TCB, everyone. Girl, please.
TCB. The girl's just wrapping up. At the end of the day, TCB and boom, boom, bow. Like,
at the end of the day, TCB with TLC. Mwah.
No, definitely gave me the chills.
No, I'm pumped and I'm ready and I'm excited. And I hope we get more teasers. Maybe we'll get a scene. Oh, I don't know.
I hope we don't because that trailer was honestly 10 hours long.
Yeah, Maggie's like, I don't want anything else, which is fair, honestly. And no, we just need to be patient.
My dad literally got up out of his chair. He was like, they need to stop showing us everything. Girl, he was like, I feel like I've watched the whole movie. I'm out of here. I was like,
no, Gary's like, do not show me another gosh darn thing.
My dad likes to be surprised when he goes into a film. He will not sit through a film. He knows what's going to happen. Even though, girl, you know Elvis's life story. What are you doing? He's like, no, I can't.
Literally, wait. That's
so funny. Literally, my dad knowing the ins and outs of Elvis's wardrobe. He's like, what are they showing me?
Like, I wouldn't be surprised. Is that an American Eagle jumpsuit? No.
Literally, my dad watching That's the Way It Is every night of his life. He's like, Elvis on tour? Like,
oh no. Okay, we need to wrap this up.
Brilliant, hilarious, unstoppable. Okay, bye.
Wait, we gotta do the outro.
Until we
don't
meet
leave
again.
Me. No.
Oh wow. Did you catch that, everyone? Abuse in the home?
Wait, the way you started when I was having a mental breakdown. Hold on. Okay.
Oh my love. Sorry.
What?
I was being Elvis.
This is too. What song was that, girl?
My darling. What do you mean? What song was that?
I thought you said home. I was like, what?
Home is where the heart is. Girl, stop.
Literally, I was like, hold on. Okay. I love you, Maggie. I love you so much.
I love you too. It really put me in an Elvis mood. Can I just add that? Like, I was not in an Elvis mood at all. I don't know what's wrong with me. I had hepatitis. I don't know. And I didn't. But like, I really was not up for Elvis right now, which is a weird thing, weird feeling when you're an Elvis girl.
Literally.
But it happens to me every couple months. I don't know. I go into like hibernation. I'm like, Elvis, stop. Like, I don't know.
Literally. But now
this trailer dropping, I was like, you know what? I'm a fake fan. Like, I'm in and I'm doing it.
I'm so excited. And I just, this summer is just going to be awesome because we have so many fun things coming up. I'm just pumped. I'm pumped.
We won't tell them.
We won't tell, but you guys will find out. And I just think that this summer is just, it's going to be a huge Elvis summer. And I am so pumped.
Oh, my love.
Wait,
we're going to get copywritten.
My darling. My favorite Elvis song in the whole planet. Really? Until we meet again.
May God bless you.
Adios. Yeah! Okay, we cut that out.